And so this is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. And it says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Father, wow, what a day. Thank you for this time. We have been blessed in your presence already. Your Spirit has ministered. You have touched our hearts. You have spoken to us through song. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Spirit that we sense in such a powerful way. We're asking you to help us, Lord, to receive this word. Help us to deliver this word today. Help us to understand and receive the wisdom of God for the times that we're living in. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. So as chaotic and as insane as things seem to be in this country, I still believe that God is navigating us toward something great. Something great. Now I'm going to read this portion of scripture here. 2 Chronicles 21 through 3. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others besides the Ammonites came up against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. The Message Bible says, shaken. He was shaken. So the message comes to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. He says, the message says, there is a great host that is coming against you. And he is shaken by this fact. And I want us to look at this scenario today because this is not a pretty picture. In fact, when you look at this, we're looking and we're listening to the words of a man who's terrified. Jehoshaphat is terrified. Now, there's some things we got to know about him. First of all, he's a good king. He's a godly man, but he's terrified. There's something happening. There's something coming at him that is absolutely terrifying. And so he's shaking in his boots. His hands are shaking. His knees are probably having fellowship. And I don't blame him. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't blame him. This situation was a dire situation. It was a life-threatening situation. And of course he was afraid. Because these guys weren't coming over to play checkers. They had blood in their eyes. Their intent was to completely annihilate Jehoshaphat and all of his people. And so these people were coming against him. They were evil and they were murderous. And Jehoshaphat found himself in a situation that no human being ever wants to be. He was out of options. Everybody say out of options.
Out of options.
So if I had a title today, and I think I should insert it right about here, out of options, but God. So look at your neighbor, say neighbor.
Neighbor.
Out of options,
out of options,
but God.
But God.
So he found himself in that situation, and nobody wants to be there. There's nothing and no one that could help him in the natural. And so it didn't matter which way he looked, there's no hope in sight. Whichever way he looked, it just magnified the problem and increased the fear factor. But Jehoshaphat,
I want to tell you,
he's not the only person in the Bible who found themselves out of options. How about Moses at the Red Sea? How many know by the time Moses got to the Red Sea, there's no options? The Red Sea is in front of them, and Pharaoh is behind them, and there's no options. There's no place they can go. Joshua at Jericho, when he comes to Jericho, he can't conquer this great city. That was a fortress city. That was a stronghold of evil in that whole territory. He needed God. He couldn't do it himself. That's why the angel of the Lord showed up and said, I come as the captain of the Lord's host. How about the woman with the issue of blood? She was totally out of options. And you know what? When we have options, when you have options, you fight. When you have options, you have expectations. When you have options, you have anticipation. As long as you have options, you can kind of strut around like a rooster or a peacock and crow like a rooster. But something happens when you're out of options. When you're out of options, you don't strut around anymore. When you're out of options, you don't crow anymore. When you're out of options, you don't puff your chest out like a peacock. And I'm not trying to be mean today, but I'm trying to say something to lay this foundation. Because the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when you hear the words that tell you you're out of options, it makes the heart sick. When the lawyer says we can't do anymore, there's no place to go with this, it makes the heart sick. When the doctor says this is the last treatment, we don't have anything else, medical science doesn't have anything to do or can do for this situation. When the marriage counselor says, I'm sorry, but I can't do anything for you. You guys are beyond help. When every financial institution says, we're sorry, but we can't help you. When your family, your friends say, we're sorry, there's nothing we can do. It's a shock to the system when you're out of options. It knocks the breath out of you. So when I was 8 years old, I think I've told the story before. I was jumping on my grandma's bed and I heard her coming, she's calling my name. And so my plan was to implement my famous dismount and to land on my feet. But it didn't happen that way. I shot off that bed at an angle. I hit the floor face down. It knocked the breath out of me. I mean completely. I never had that happen before. I thought I was going to die. I walked out. I was still walking. I was like, I couldn't believe I was still walking. I was like, and I felt my heart. I was like, and so something happened. I felt my heart was still beating. So I felt like I might survive this. Even though I couldn't breathe. For a while, I couldn't breathe. And so that was a horrible experience in my life. But I'm going to tell you something. It taught me something. Even though I had the breath knocked out of me, my heart was still beating, blood was still pumping, so there was still hope I would survive. Now that lesson helped me in my life because I came to some places in my life later when it felt just like that day. It felt just like having the breath knocked out of you when you come to that place of no options. Is it miserable? Yes. Is it terrifying? Yes. Is it necessary? I think so. Because the word options means you have alternatives. You have preferences you could choose. You have choices. And I'm going to say something. And I know you might not like this, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes I don't like it. But I believe it's necessary. At least one time in your life, to come to the place where you are completely out of options. And you say, Pastor, why in the world would you say that? Because it's just on the other side of nothing that you find everything. It's on the other side of out of options, but God. So it's sad, but most of the time, we humans and earthlings, even Christians, we will try every natural, human, earthly solution before we ever look to God. Like the woman with the issue of blood, you realize, according to the scripture, Jesus wasn't even on her radar until she had explored and exhausted every option. I'm going to tell you something. When God brings you to a place of no options, really, you have come to the greatest place in your life. And you say, why would you say that? Because finally, you're at the place where you're ready to open the door to the possibility that God may be able to do something that you cannot do. Everybody say, no option, but God. So how far do we have to go? How many crazy things do we have to try? How much do we have to suffer before we say, God, I need your help? The Bible says the woman with the issue of blood suffered many things of many physicians as they experimented on her. And she suffered at their hands as she explored and she exhausted her options. She suffered till one day she finally reached the place where she had no options but God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that an easy place to come to? I'm going to tell you, that is not an easy place to come to. It is not a happy place to come to. It is a difficult place. It's a hard place. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, this is why I came to this pulpit with this message. I see, this is what I see in America. I see us running out of options. I see us coming to the end of the rope. I see us beginning to feel like we've had the breath knocked out of us. I see us in this country feeling a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. But when I look in the spirit, I see a plan at work, and I see God patiently waiting for us to run out of options. In Mark 6, 46 through 51, there's a story. The disciples are crossing the sea one night. A great storm comes upon them. The boat is being tossed around. It's filling with water. Then the Bible says, at the fourth watch of the night, which is approximately 3 a.m, Jesus came to them walking on the water, on top of their storm, on top of the thing that was trying to kill them. So from the mountain, now listen to this, from the mountain in prayer, Jesus saw them out there in the sea, toiling and rowing and fighting the contrary winds. And he saw them early in the evening, approximately about 6 p.m. But he didn't come to them until 3 a.m. That's 9 hours that he left them out there fighting the storm. Now, I don't know about you, but that feels and seems a little cruel. If he saw them in need and he saw them in the storm of their lives as early as 6 p.m. and he could just walk right out there and calm the storm, why in the world did he wait till 3 a.m. before he came to them? Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I ask questions. I asked the Lord, what are you talking about? What does this mean? Why did you do it that way? Why did you wait till 3 o'clock? That's 9 hours you left them out there fighting that storm alone. So I asked the Lord why. He said, here's why. Because they would not have received him in their boat as long as they had options. As long as they felt they could make it on their own, as long as they felt they could do it, they would not have received Jesus out there on that ocean or that sea and received him into their boat. And I know, friend, it's a hard place to come to, but desperation is the breeding ground for miracles. And when people get desperate, they listen to things they used to ignore. And when people get desperate, they reach for the thing they used to turn their backs on. And it seems to be harsh and uncaring. But in reality, it is the mercy of God when we finally run out of options. When you finally reach the place of no options but God, you are in the best place of your life. And you may feel that way today. You may feel like every option you had in life has just evaporated. But it could be that God is setting you up for the greatest miracle breakthrough of your life. And I believe that's where we're coming to in America. I believe that. We used to believe in our three-letter agencies. The FBI. The CIA. The DOJ. We used to believe in those agencies. We used to believe that the government wanted to help us. We used to believe in the Food and Drug Administration and what they warned us about and what they told us about. We used to believe in our healthcare organizations. We used to believe in the judicial system. We used to trust the schools with the mental health and welfare of our children throughout the day. We used to believe in the monetary system. We used to believe that we actually had some personal privacy. We used to believe that all doctors and medical personnel would only do what was right and necessary to provide the physical, mental, and emotional aid that was needed to promote our health and welfare. We used to believe that the news media outlets were fair and unbiased. Is anybody seeing where we're going today? What am I saying? I'm saying we're running out of options. In this country, we're running out of options. And I believe there's something bigger than we can see. There's something behind the scenes. There's something happening that we can't quite put our finger on. But it's easy for us, when we see this happening, blame the devil. Oh, yeah, it's the devil. The devil in the FBI, the devil in the CIA, the devil in the DOJ, the devil in the hospital, the devil in the doctor, the devil here, the devil there. It's easy. Blame the devil. But let me ask a question. Is it really the devil? Could it be that God himself is trying to bring America back to himself?
That's right.
Could it be that God knows as long as we have options, we'll keep strutting around like a peacock with our noses in the air, our chests puffed out, and so one by one, the options in this country are evaporating. But is it the devil? The Bible says in Hebrews, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not and refuse him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying," this is God talking, "yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And that word "yet once more" signifieth the removing of things that are shaken. Could that be options? Removing the things that are shaken as of things that are made. Oh my God, feel the Holy Ghost. So that things which cannot be shaken will remain. God said everything that can be shaken will be shaken. I'm going to shake everything that man manufactured and man put together. And the only thing that's going to be left is the kingdom of God. Who's doing the shaking? It doesn't say it's the devil. It says God. God said, "I'm going to shake everything. Every option, every alternative that has been made, or every choice, everything that you could put your confidence in. But God." God says, "I'm going to shake it." I'm going to shake it. I mean, I'm back to the Jehoshaphat now. He's shaken. He's got no options. Jehoshaphat, he went to God for help. He ordered a nationwide fast. The country of Judah united in seeking God's help. So the Bible says, here's a man out of options. It says he feared. He set himself to seek the Lord proclaimed the fast through all Judah, he set himself to seek the Lord. Remember what he said earlier when he said, and I read it first, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Do you see what he's telling God? He's telling God, I know we are no match for this. I know we don't have enough warriors. We don't have the right weapons. Everything we have or could do is inadequate. We can't outsmart them. We can't outrun them. I know. But then listen to him. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, Lord, we're out of options. We don't know what to do. Now I said that's a hard place to come to, because our pride keeps us kicking. Our pride keeps us clawing. Our pride keeps us figuring and planning. We run to this, we run to that. We can make this work. Somehow we can get this done. But Jehoshaphat came to the place. He finally said, we are out of options, but God, our eyes are upon thee. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Our eyes are upon thee. What are you saying, Jehoshaphat? I can just hear him say, we're not looking to the government anymore. We're not looking to Donald Trump anymore to save us. We're not looking for the Supreme Court to save us. We're not looking to our woke military to save us. We're not looking to the almighty dollar to save us. We're not looking to the FBI, CIA, or DOJ to save us. We're putting our faith in God. We're not looking to medical science to save us. We are putting our faith in God. Why? Because we have run out of options. We're out of options in this country. We're out of options. You can't run to the DOJ. You can't run to the FBI, the CIA. You can't run to the judicial system and get what you need. You better get your eyes on God. I believe it's a but God moment. And just on the other side of but God, just on the other side of we're out of options, it's a but God moment. And as harsh as it may seem, the most merciful thing, and listen to what I'm saying, because I feel like I got a word from God. As harsh as it may seem, what the process we've been going through in this country, it is the most merciful thing that God could do for America today, is eliminating her options.
Right. Amen. Yes.
It's hard to watch your options just evaporate in front of your face. You said, we can try this, but while you're trying this, you got something in the back of your mind. You said, well, if this don't work out, I'll do this. And then you're trying this. You said, well, I'm going to try this, but if this don't work out, I'm going to try this. But to stand in a place where you're absolutely out of options, it's hard. Even in the physical and the natural, it's hard. I don't know what to do. That's where America is at. And you may be inclined to ask Pastor Terry, would you believe that God would actually do such a thing? Well, you know the way you understand what God would do, might do, is by looking at what God did do. God did do that. He brought the children of Israel to a place where there was no options. The Bible says there was a closer way. There was a shortcut, but God led them around the long way. And then he set them right down in front of the Red Sea, where he knew that Pharaoh's army would come rushing in behind them. And he knew they would have no options but God. So I confess something to you. I don't always understand why God does what he does. But I do know this. He always has a purpose for what he does. And I've discovered something about God. He has a strong desire to be glorified. Oh, yes, he does. Bigger than you think. He has a strong desire to be glorified. And he, Almighty God, will orchestrate time, events, and circumstances in the way he chooses that will best serve to bring him the greatest glory.
Yeah.
And if you didn't hear anything else I said today, that right there was worth coming for. He has this desire to be glorified. And he will orchestrate time and events and circumstances any way he chooses to bring to himself the greatest glory. I'm going to tell you, we in America, we feel things. We feel the way things are going. We feel disappointment. We feel discouragement. We feel things, and we would choose for things to be different. But if it was left up to us, we would take shortcuts. If it was left up to us, we would take less than what God's best is for us. If it was left up to us, we would just get out of the fire as fast as we could. We would just change things in the way that makes sense to us. But aren't you glad we serve a God that is bigger than us? He knows more than us. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And he's working to bring glory to himself. Everybody say, God get the glory.
God get the glory.
God get the glory. See, let's be honest about it. In most cases, the glory of God is not our aim. In most cases, our aim is the shortest route through the pain, the shortest route through the fire, the least amount of discomfort and pain. We're not asking God, how, God, can you receive the greatest glory in this? We just want the shortcut to the happy story. That's all. But there's something in the nature of God that doesn't like things done halfway. God is about finishing and sealing the deal. Yep. Now let's be honest. We would be satisfied just to get a little relief. Just to catch a break from the madness. Just to keep the wolf away from the door for a few months. But God has something better, complete, and permanent. But there's a catch. You have got to trust Him. You have got to trust Him. When he starts removing the options. Can you trust God when he removes the options? I'm sure that Jehoshaphat, all of his people, would have been thrilled. Listen, they would have been thrilled to know, for some reason, whatever the reason, that this great army that was coming against them had changed their mind and had decided to go home and maybe come back another time. I'm sure they would have been thrilled. I'm sure they would have shouted. I'm sure they would have given each other high fives and said, hallelujah, did you hear? They're going home. Did you hear? We're going to get it. And things are turning around. Hallelujah. It's going to be wonderful. They're going home. They're going to leave us alone for a while. Isn't that wonderful? They would have been thrilled. But God had a better plan. So say with me, God has a better plan.
All right.
Say, God's plan,
God's plan
is the best plan.
It's the best plan.
Always.
Always.
So listen, I may not see it. It may not make sense to me. But God always has a better plan. God's plan.
Amen.
Oh my God. Alabasanda. God's plan was to annihilate their enemies. And I'm sure when the day started, they could have never imagined that God was going to destroy those enemies once and for all. And some of you today, you're thinking, you can't imagine how God could change this situation. You can't imagine a life without medicine or a life without doctor's appointments. You can't imagine a life where all your needs are met and you got left money left over to be generous, a generous giver. You can't imagine all your children saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, on fire for God. You can't imagine that God can restore broken relationships. You can't see how it could happen. But I'm telling you, God has a plan. And God is so awesome. He can move in such a way that when he moves, you will think you're dreaming. This is what David said. He He's expressing the sentiment of Israel. Psalms 126 and 1 from the Message Bible, it says this: "It seemed like a dream, too good to be true, when God returned Zion's exiles. We laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. We were the talk of the nations. God was wonderful to them." That's what they were saying. The nations were saying, man, God really blessed them. God pulled their fat out of the fire. God did something supernatural. God did a miracle. Look what God did for them. The nations were talking about them, how good God was to them. And then look at what happened. He said, then we got on board. The nations were saying, God is wonderful to them. And then they jumped on and said, yes, God was wonderful to us. And we are one happy people. David said it was like a dream. We had been in captivity. We had been in slavery. We had been in bondage. We had been under this yoke. We had been under this depression and this oppression and this insanity and this confusion and this darkness. And so long, and it was so heavy and so real and so present and so oppressive that when God turned it around, it felt like a dream. Now listen, I feel like I need to prophesy to somebody that God is up to something big. He's up to something big. And I don't know who this is for today, but I'm going to tell you something. God is going to blow your mind. God's going to blow your mind. Because I don't know what Goliath is screaming in your face personally. What problem's been riding your back? But I'm going to tell you something. God is bigger than that. You say, I have an incurable disease, Pastor. God's bigger than that. You say, I've got a monkey on my back. I can't kick this addiction. God is bigger than that. You say, my money's always funny. I always have more month left than money. God is bigger than that. You say, the government is threatening to take away my Social Security. God is bigger than that. You may be standing at a Red Sea moment and you're completely out of options. But God. Amen. Woo! Woo! Everybody say, but God. Say, out of options. But God. Say it again, out of options. But God. America. We're out of options. But God. America. We're out of options. But God, friend, you're out of options. But God. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a hard place to come to. But I'm telling you, when God, if God ever brings you, listen to me. If God ever brings you to a place where you're out of options, He did it on purpose. If God ever brings you to a place where you have no alternatives and you have no other choices, He did it on purpose. Because He's getting ready to show off. Because He's getting ready to roll up His sleeve. Because He's getting ready to do something no man can do. And no human and no institution can do. You are at a but God moment. If America has ever been at a but God moment, it's now. We're at a but God moment. But God. Let me just say it. If God doesn't do it, it can't be done.
That's true.
If God doesn't do it, it can't be done. There's a time in life when God will allow you to work through your options. He will let you do that. And He will let you move this way and that way. And it's not perfect. It's not exactly what He wants for you, but He'll let you go that way. Go that route. And then there comes a time in the mercy of God. And it's mercy when He begins to pull those options away. And you look to the left and there's no option. You look to the right and there's no option. You look this way and that way and there's no option. And then all of a sudden, what do? He said, our eyes are upon Thee. Yeah. We have no might against this great company has risen up against us. What he's saying is everything we have is insufficient. It's inadequate. It's not enough. But God. See, this is the thing. When Pharaoh came rolling in on the Israelites with all of his chosen men and 600 chariots, that was the best military equipment of the day. That was the best trained soldiers of the day. That was the best of the best of the best rolling in on the children of Israel. And they're walking, old men, old ladies, young kids, and they're all walking and they're rolling their wagons and their oxen and their cattle and their donkeys and their sheep, and they're moving through the Red Sea as God has opened that up. And here comes Pharaoh rushing in behind them. And you're hearing the wheels whirling, and you're hearing the swords and shields and spears are all clanging and banging, and it's like, oh. So they had everything in their favor but God. They had everything fixed. Did I just say that? I did say that. Rigged. But God. What did Pharaoh forget? He forgot the God equation. I'm telling you, they may have everything rigged. They may have everything going in their favor, in your finances, in your physical, in your natural, in the natural realm, in this country. It doesn't matter what they're forgetting, what the devil is forgetting. See, the devil's trying to put on this show. He's trying to make everybody in the world believe that he is boss, that he is the big dog. But I'm telling you, he's not the big dog. He's just the little pup. He's not the big dog. He's just a little pup. Smith Wigglesworth said one day he's walking down the road. He said this little chihuahua come running out of the yard and said, and when he did this, it was chasing his owner, a lady. And the lady turned and looked at her little chihuahua and said, "Go home, go home, go home. You can't be out here. You're going to get ran over. Go home." So the little dog just looked at me. So she got a little stronger. She said, "Go home, go home, go back, go back, go back." And that little dog, he just tail wagging. Like, finally, she stomped her foot. She said, "I said, go home." He said, "That's the way you gotta treat the devil. The devil ain't gonna listen to you until you get some authority in your voice.
Amen.
Until you realize God is for us. And if God be for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. It doesn't matter what they've got in their favor. We've got the God equation." How many would agree today that in this country we're out of options? Where do you go? Where do you go when you run to the Supreme Court? It's supposed to be the ruling judicial body in our nation, and you don't seem to get any justice there. Where do you go? There's only a higher power. But God. No options but God. Now, so I love this. Jehoshaphat, he spreads out his case before God. "Oh God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven above and ruler of all kingdoms below? You hold all power and might in your fist. No one stands a chance against you. When the worst happens, whether war or flood or disease or famine, We take our place before this temple. We know you are present here, and we pray out our pain and our trouble. We know that you will listen and you will give us the victory. And then he says, and now it has happened. The worst has happened. And then he says, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are on thee. All of a sudden, something happened. The Bible says, then Jehaziel was moved by the Spirit of God. The spirit of prophecy fell on this man of God. He began to prophesy. He said, attention everyone, all of you. All of you from out of town, all of you from Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, attention to God's word. Don't be afraid. Don't pay mind to this vandal horde. This is God's war, not yours.
Amen.
Can't we believe that today?
Yes, amen.
That this is God's battle?
Yes, it is.
It's not ours. Do you have to be involved in it? Yes. But what was David's secret against Goliath? He said, this battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. I'm going to tell you something. This is not a fight of Democrat and Republic. This is a fight of God and the devil. This is a fight between Jesus and the devil. It's not our battle. It's his. And this is what he said. He said, Jehoshaphat, all you people, you need to understand something. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. You have to understand this. If you think it's yours, it's all about your strength, your ability, your skills, your talents, your choices, your options. But if you know it's about God, and it's between God and the devil, then you look to God. Our eyes are upon thee. And look what it says. And so tomorrow you'll go out after them. In other words, you'll show up to the battle. You won't stay home sipping iced tea and watching I Love Lucy. You'll show up at the battle. You'll meet them at the end of the ravine near the wilderness of Jeruel. You won't have to lift a hand in this battle. You won't have to take your sword out of its sheath in this battle. Just stand firm, Judah and Jerusalem, and watch God's saving work for you take shape. Don't be afraid. This is a word for you today. This is a word for the church today. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't waver. Go out boldly. March out boldly, because God is with you. Everybody say, God is with me. Say, it doesn't matter what they have. Doesn't matter what is for them. Say, God is with me. And God is for me. Now then Jehoshaphat, he knelt down, bowing his face to the ground. All Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping God, honoring the word that was delivered. And then it says the Levites, they stood on their feet to praise God. And I love this little part. It said, they praised him at the top of their lungs. Woo! As they praised God, something supernatural happened. The Bible says, as they praised him. And I like the way it says this. As soon as they started shouting and praising God, God set ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir as they were come out to attack Judah, and they all ended up dead. I'm going to tell you something. I'll just be honest about this. These people that are raising up in such an evil fashion today against what God is wanting to do in America, I fear for their lives. I fear for them. It's not beyond God to take some people out.
That's right.
They all ended up dead. Whew. What does that mean? As soon as they quit rehearsing the problem, as soon as they quit magnifying the magnitude of the enemy, as soon as they quit whining and complaining, and they went over into praising, as soon as they shifted into praise, God started fighting for them. And he started sending ambushments against the enemy, and they started turning on themselves. They started destroying each other. They started stabbing each other until there was not one single one left. I'm telling you, when God does something, he can do it completely. Amen. That's what I told you before. He's not into the half jobs. He's into the finished job. Amen. Not one single enemy left. Now, celebration time? Well, yeah. Hey, hey, the wicked witch is dead. Let's celebrate. It's over. The battle is won. Victory is ours. Let's go home. Hallelujah. We don't ever have to worry about those devils again. Battle finished. Would that be enough for you? Would it be for me? I'll be home celebrating, praising God, glorifying God. Hallelujah. I'll be serving myself some cake, some celebration cake. I don't know what all I'll be doing, but I'll be throwing a party, right? But look what happens. It says, so Judah came up over the rise, looking into the wilderness for the horde of the barbarians. They looked to see the enemy that had come against them. And when they looked down into the valley, here's what they saw. Dead bodies. Not a living soul among them. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to carry off the plunder, they found more loot than they could carry off. Equipment, clothing, valuables, jewels, rubies, diamonds. And the Bible says it took them 3 days to cart off all the blessings. I'm telling you, God is up to something. We got to refocus. We got to get our attention in the right place. Because I'm telling you, what the devil wants to do is he wants to get our attention on what the enemy is doing. He wants us to focus on how ugly, how mean, how despicable, how spiteful, how hateful, how vengeful, how murderous they are. You know, the last thing I heard just before I come over here, I heard that the Democrats are now working on getting Donald Trump Secret Service protection removed from him. Well, that's no surprise, right? They want him dead. That's no surprise. We have some evil people in the world. But when we get our focus right, I can't focus on that. I can't focus on them. I can't spend my time thinking about Alvin Bragg and thinking about Letitia James and thinking about Fonny. I can't spend my time all about that. I got to get my eyes on God.
That's right.
Amen. We see the host that's come against us, but our eyes are on you. Yes. We don't know what to do. What does that mean? We're out of options, God. Yep. We're out of options down here. But God. Amen. Would you stand? Can I tell you in closing this message today, but God is better than any option you ever had. But God is better than any option we ever had. We can look at the way that things are going in this world right now. We can see the dark alley that we're going down. We can see the pit that we're spiraling into. Or you can look at God.
but God. And you can realize that it just could be. It just could be that it's not all the devil. It just could be that God is removing the options. When Daniel found himself in the lion's den, he didn't have no options. But he had God.
Yes, he did.
When Joseph found himself in prison, he didn't have no options. But he had God. The children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea and Egyptians were coming in behind them. They were out of options. But God. And I feel like this is what God is saying to America today. Yes, America, you are coming to the end of your options. But God. Come on, all over this building, I want you to lift your hands right now. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to send up a praise to God right now. Send up a praise to God right now. Let Him know that you're turning your eyes away from all the darkness, all of the anger, the hatred, and all the vitriol, and all the attacks of the devil. Let Him know that you're focusing on Him today. Let Him know today, Lord, we're turning our attention to You, God. We're lifting our eyes up to the hills from whence cometh our help, because our help comes from God, who is the maker of the heavens and the earth. Lord, Lord, we hear Your word today. This battle is not ours. This battle is Yours, God. Lord, yes, we've got to be involved in it, but we have to recognize that it's not against Democrats and Republicans, Lord, but it's against hell. It's against hell. It's a battle between Jesus and the devil. It's a battle between You, Almighty God, and the devil, and You're going to win every time, every time, every time, every time. Lord, we're going to see Your glory. We're going to see Your glory, God. You've been setting the stage for the greater glory. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, come on, come on, come on. Lift your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, we praise You today. We praise You today. God, we're going to shout right now, Lord. We don't have to wait till the battle's over to shout. We don't have to wait. Oh, gosh. We praise You right now, Lord, with all hell breaking loose all around us. We praise You, Lord God. Woo! 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 Shake it, Lord. Shake it, Lord. Shake it, Lord. Shake it, Lord. Shake it loose, God. Shake it, shake it, shake it. Until only that which cannot be shaken remains. Shake us loose from every option, Lord. Until we have but God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, just worship Him. I feel God doing something. I feel God shifted something. I feel God changing some mindsets. I feel God putting some faith back in somebody. I feel God bringing some courage back into somebody's heart today. There is a but God moment, and we're rapidly coming to that but God moment in this country. And when God is going to roll up His sleeve, He's going to show us who's in charge. Our God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to His power that works in us. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Shut up, 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 shut up yes. Come on, if you've got that prayer language, why don't you just cultivate that? Come on, Masata, Masata. We're going to war just a little bit. We're going to war. He comes on the Sata, Mandala, Masa. Uranda, Rakandala, Masata. Idio, Shindela, Roko, Rikata, Masata. Toko, Randala, Masa, Nala, Mandala, Masa. Idala, Masa, Nala, Masa, Nala, Masa. O Randala, Masike, Nala, Masa. O Rida, Masa, How many believe God is doing something? How many believe God is on the throne? How many believe that greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost doing something. I feel God turning something around. Hallelujah. Oh, by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, oh God. By your Spirit, oh God, this mountain, it shall be removed. This mountain, it shall be removed. Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Urashadamasata. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Urashadamasata.
Iroko sanda yilako. Areke ne iki lahaya. Isikina aika. Ari isakai ala aneke. I lahanda akaya. Isina la yeshe. Laki leke. Ane asike. Arekera, Arayeshanda Nagi, Ashikane, Ayanaye, say Nakolo Halai, Nai, you see, Kanana Sultana.
For behold, says the Lord, I have done it before. Yes, I have done it before. Search my book, you will see. Many, many, many times have I brought my people to the place of impossibility that they might see my great possibilities. But know and understand, says the Lord, that I am for you. And it doesn't matter who and what is waged against you. Greater is He that's in you. Lift your eyes to the hills today, from whence cometh your help. Because your help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Yes, I have brought you into a place. Yes, I brought you into a difficult place, says God. But I have been waiting on you to get to this place. For I have been waiting to demonstrate. And I have been waiting to manifest my power and manifest my glory to you, in you, and through you. For what the enemy has tried to do, to try to make dark and to try to bring great darkness upon the earth, says the Lord, I will magnify my light. My light will come forth. It will be the greatest display of the glory of my power that the world has ever seen, says the Lord. And you are standing on the threshold of that breakthrough. And you're standing on the threshold of that outpouring, says the Lord. And as you worship and praise and glorify me, you will step through into that new day, says the Lord. You will step through into the place of abundance and the place of breakthrough and the place of miracles, says the Lord, where all things are possible to them that believe. Oh, God, we're stepping through. Oh, we're stepping through. Oh, we're stepping through, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Let's not get in a hurry. I feel God's still working. Yes. Just feel there's still a work being done in the Spirit. Yes. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 This message is not at all relieving us of personal responsibility of doing everything we know how to do, doing everything that's right, doing everything we can do, making every effort that we possibly can to move things in the right direction. But it's just understanding that it has to be God.
Yes.
Without God, we can't do it. We can't make it. It's going to be a God thing. I'm going to say this. I was kind of going to go over this, but I think I need to say this. We're pleading for mercy in this country. We're not standing in the place before God as being a righteous, upright, good, obedient, faithful son. America has not been that. I hate to say it, but it's true. As a country, we've gone a long way the wrong way. And just when you think we're turning the corner and we're making some big progress in the right direction, you know, you see the devil raise up his head and do something.